ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Hi, I'm Patricia Carvelis, host of Politics Now, the ABC's podcast unpacking the latest political news. Every week you'll hear me and the sharpest political minds at the ABC.
Ritual humiliation at which everybody laughs and pretends to be entertained by Donald Trump. That's on the Trump bingo card.
So join me for Politics Now on the ABC Listen app.
He's called a female journalist piggy, labelled another insubordinate, and demanded Democratic politicians be arrested, even suggesting they could be executed for seditious behaviour. Sounds like a pretty normal week for Donald Trump, but is it? Today's staff writer from The Atlantic magazine, Tom Nichols, on why the president's latest outbursts are a sign he's losing control of himself. I'm Sam Hawley on Gadigal Land in Sydney. This is ABC News Daily. Tom, we're pretty used to outbursts from Donald Trump at this point, but in the past week or so, you think that we've seen a remarkable shift. Now, before we delve into that, let's just consider, first of all, some of the things he's been saying and doing. Now, why don't we just start with one of the more outrageous ones, which is when he lashed out at a female journalist and called her piggy.
Yeah, he was on Air Force One, and a female reporter asked him if he would still support releasing the Epstein files. This was about a week and a half ago, even if they had him in it and if it were damaging and so on. And he said, "Quiet, piggy." Which, you know, was really, even by Donald Trump's standards, shocking. I mean, he shows a lot of hostility toward reporters and especially toward women. But he really seems to be kind of losing control of himself. He usually can hold back a bit. He'll normally say something like, "You're a terrible reporter, or that's fake news. You know, what network are you with? They're awful." But calling somebody, a woman, piggy, he always has kind of reveled in saying things that would probably get him called out onto the sidewalk if he weren't the president. But even by his very low standards, that was kind of a shock.
Yeah.
And his supporters tried to rationalize it. He didn't really say that. He got her name wrong and so on. But nobody's buying that story. He seems to be kind of losing his grip.
Yeah, but Carolyn Leavitt, his press secretary at the White House, she even defended the remarks. And she's a woman.
What did the president mean when he called a reporter piggy?
Look, the president is very frank and honest with everyone in this room. You've all seen it yourself. You've all experienced it yourselves. And I think it's one of the many reasons that the American people reelected this president, because of his frankness.
Well, Carolyn Leavitt she's the press secretary for a reason, which is that she will defend anything Donald Trump does. And that's why she's there. She has no background in journalism or the press. She's a Trump loyalist. That's her job. And no one should be surprised by that, even though she's a woman. The Trump administration doesn't really think in terms of men or women or white or black or up or down or left or right. They think in terms of people who support us and enemies. And that's it. That's the only two classes of people in the Trump administration's world.
All right, well, Tom, after this, the president sits down with the Saudi crown prince, a man who US intelligence has found ordered the murder of American journalist Jamal Khashoggi. And he again lashes out at another female reporter, doesn't he?
Yeah, again, I think it's showing the strain getting to him. That because I think this is all about the Epstein files. And once again, this time he did his more standard kind of reaction. "You're fake news, terrible network." And then he added that he was going to tell America's Federal Communications Commission to look into ABC's license.
Mr. President, why wait for Congress to release the Epstein files? Why not just do it now?
You know, you're a terrible person and a terrible reporter. People are wise to your hoax, and ABC's is, your company, your crappy company, is one of the perpetrators. And I'll tell you something.
So why not just sign it now?
I think the license should be taken away from ABC because your news is so fake and it's so wrong. And we have a great commissioner, the chairman, who should look at that because
which is something, again, he's resorted to in the past of making this kind of threat because the president, unfortunately, has a very kind of childlike understanding of the presidency. And he thinks that, you know, everything that goes on in the world is something that he can license or permit or prevent. But again, you know, it was a very uncomfortable moment and an embarrassing one for the United States, of course.
And of course, there is more, Tom, much more. The president also called for the arrest and, wait for it, the execution of elected American officials. What was that about?
Yeah, this is where I think it's always a risky thing to say. This is where Donald Trump went over the line. But this is where I think we saw something qualitatively new. He's always talked about his opponents and his enemies as vermin and scum and terrible people. But he identified these six members of Congress, all of whom were veterans of either the military or the national security community, and said that he wanted them arrested and tried for sedition, which, of course, he kept adding, carries the death penalty. Mm. And their crime, in his eyes, they were reminding senior officers of the U.S. military that they must refuse to obey illegal orders.
Our laws are clear. You can refuse illegal orders.
You can refuse illegal orders.
You must refuse illegal orders.
No one has to carry out orders that violate the law or our Constitution.
We know this with the president using the military in American cities and with a string of strikes on the high seas where he's killing people at will, these members of Congress stepped forward and said, remember, your duty is to refuse illegal orders. And that really made the president pop a gasket. And the Secretary of Defense, or as he styles himself, calls himself the Secretary of War, said that he's going to look into one of those senators, Mark Kelly, who is retired naval officer, and consider bringing him back to the service and court-martialing him. And of course, nothing's going to really come of that. It's absurd, but it shows you how wired and I think terrified the White House is about these files.
There was another moment I just wanted to raise with you before we move on, because he also sat down with Zoran Mamdani, the incoming New York mayor, and that was a rather warm affair given he is very critical of the president.
But I just want to congratulate. I think you're going to have, hopefully, a really great mayor. The better he does, the happier I am, I will say. There's no difference in party. There's no difference in anything. And we're going to be helping him to make everybody's dream come true, having a strong and very safe New York. And congratulations, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. President.
What did you make of that?
Right. Donald Trump really has no internal political compass. Mamdani came in and was, you know, cheerful and charismatic and respectful and put on a good face. And that was enough for Donald Trump. And all of the other stuff about how he's a communist and he's going to ruin New York and all of that kind of went out the window because Donald Trump is a vain man who is easily wowed by celebrity. And one thing I think that really had an effect here is that Mamdani is kind of a celebrity now. Mm. And Trump clearly enjoys that.
All right, well, Tom, let's then turn to your thesis, and that is that President Trump is losing control of himself, which you say is sort of worse than losing control of, say, a policy agenda, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's the president of the United States. He commands the most powerful military in the world. He has the codes to thousands of nuclear weapons. You know, we're watching a man have, in my view, and I'm not a doctor, I'm just a man looking at another human being here, you know, he seems to be melting down. The insults and the lashing out and the threats, We're used to some of that from Donald Trump because he is a showman. And he does that because he looks at everything through the lens of television. These outbursts, including these threats to arrest and try and execute members of Congress, tells you, I think, that this is somebody who's really losing his grip on himself and on the situation. And I think part of the way you know that is no one's really been able to step in front of this and stop it. It's almost like he has no staff anymore. I mean, they're all a sycophantic circle, to be sure. But in earlier years, and certainly in his first administration, even within that circle of sycophants, there were people that would step forward and say, look, Mr. President, it's a bad idea. You know, and you probably shouldn't be saying stuff like this. I mean, he is unbound now. And I think everybody should be concerned when the president of the United States appears to be having problems with his emotional stability.
And you don't think we should just be treating this as just another episode of the Trump reality show. You do think that this is substantially different than what we've seen from him before.
It feels that way to me. Mm. I've been watching him for a long time. And you can almost tell when he's play acting. I mean, he has very set phrases and he kind of rehashes certain kinds of grievances. But as another American commentator, as Bill Kristol pointed out, it seemed on Thursday last week that he hadn't slept well. He said, I wonder, you know, if he just hadn't had a good night's sleep worrying about all this stuff, because all of this lashing out has been growing with the impending release of the Epstein files. I think the stress is getting to him. And that to me seems different than his usual kind of role playing of the wrestling world heel or the bad executive on a TV show or something. This feels to me like he's really showing us a man who's cornered and scared.
Mm. You say it reminds you of the Nixon years. So just explain why that is.
Well, at the end of Richard Nixon's, just before he left office in his second term, he was lashing out within the White House, and people were worried about his rationality. He was reportedly drinking too much, you know, just really showing the immense strain of a man whose entire presidency was collapsing under a scandal. The Secretary of Defense at the time, James Schlesinger, was so concerned that he reached out to the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff and said, look, if you get any unusual orders coming out of the White House, double check them with me. Which probably isn't constitutional, but it showed that there were people in the Nixon White House that were very worried about the president's state of mind. I would argue that where Donald Trump is right now in public is vastly beyond anywhere Nixon was toward the end of his time in office. I mean, Nixon had a much more professional group of people around him and a lot more self-control than Donald Trump. And yet there were people in 1974, very concerned about his emotional and mental stability.
Mm. Donald Trump is a teetotaler, though, isn't he? Just to make that point, he does not drink.
No, Donald Trump is famously a teetotaler, but he's also, I would argue, compared to Richard Nixon, a man much more enslaved to his own impulses, really incapable of kind of, you know, editing himself or, you know, having any kind of inner monologue. I mean, Donald Trump, as we've seen in these Fidel Castro-like hours-long, you know, speeches that he gives, if he thinks it, he says it. It comes out of him. And especially with a phone in his hand, when he can tweet things or post things on his Truth Social, you know, he's almost unstoppable in a way that I think even Richard Nixon would have realized that there are some things that, you know, saying them in public is probably a bad idea.
All right, well, Tom, if your thesis is right and Donald Trump continues down this path, what does that mean? What comes next? What does it mean for the American people?
Well, it means, I think, that they have to pay very close attention to their government in a way that they haven't thought to do, that they probably should have been doing earlier, but that Americans need to have discussions among themselves about, you know, this isn't an act anymore, and that they shouldn't, you know, treat it as just another episode of the Trump reality show. I think for members of Congress, they really have to start doing their job. Even the Republicans, which I think is starting to happen, you're starting to see some dissent finally, after all these years, starting to percolate in the Republican Party, but that they have to just keep an eye on him. this White House is, you know, completely bunkered down around Donald Trump. They're not, it's not like they're going to admit that anything's wrong. But members of Congress and people, you know, ordinary citizens really need to be paying closer attention.
Tom Nichols is a staff writer at The Atlantic. This episode was produced by Sydney Peed. Audio production by Sam Dunn. Our supervising producer is David Cody. I'm Sam Hawley. I'm off for a few weeks, so thank you for your company throughout the year. Sydney Peed will be with you on ABC News Daily from Monday. Thanks for listening.